Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Marcy Hoffer, the third generation leader of Harry Hoffer Advertising Specialties, a promotional products business founded by her grandfather back in 1946. For nearly 80 years now, the company has helped businesses grow through creativity, quality, and service, delivering everything from trade show giveaways to corporate gifts and branded merchandise. Marcy carries on the legacy of her grandfather, Harry, while adding her own creative energy and personal touch. She's passionate about helping clients stand out with unique and effective promotional products, and she takes pride in keeping the name Harry Hoffer alive every day. Marcy, welcome to Growing Up B2B. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Ed. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's start at the beginning. Your grandfather, Harry, founded this company in 1946. I can only imagine what the state of promotional products was back in 1946. So what do you know about the early years and how he first got involved in promotional products?
My grandfather was actually a candy peddler, and that industry was changing and he needed to transition and look for a job. My family was from Jersey City, New Jersey, and he went to a plastic supplier that was in Jersey City and went to look for a job, and he walked out with a catalog and a comb. And that was the start of his career in the promotional products business. My aunt, I'll tell you about her a little bit later. I know you have some questions, but she didn't ask a lot of questions in the beginning about how that all came to be. So there are a few holes in terms of how did that start? How did he get interested in ASI, which is Advertising Specialty Institute? He's really proud that he had an ASI number that was low. That was the early years. But we don't know a lot about how he really got started. But he started Harry Hoffer Advertising Specialties in 1946.
Awesome. So every family business has those moments of transition. How did your aunt come to step into the business and keep it? She was the second generation, right?
Correct.
So how did that materialize?
So my grandfather raised a family of four on the business, and he was in his 80s when he started to say to my aunt, you should take this business over. It's a good business. I'm really proud of the fact that he used to say, it's a really good business for a woman. And like he was forward thinking back then. But the fact is that we belong to a network of suppliers and distributors. Mm-hmm. We have all their stock and they carry all the products. So it was a really good, easy way to get into business. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, she was not interested at all. She worked at a fancy dress shop. And in 1986, he had two clients left. One was a larger bank in New Jersey that he did all their pens. And he passed away. And being the daughter, the only daughter, she was cleaning out the home-based business office and the phone rang. And the bank called to order their quarterly pens. And she just couldn't get the words out that he had passed and that this was no longer. And she said, is it an exact repeat? And they said, yes. And she said, okay, I'll take care of it. And she got off the phone, rummaged through paperwork, figured out who to call, called them and said, I couldn't say no. And what do I do? And the woman on the other end was very kind to her and gave her an education and said, this is what you do. And she said, by the way, what kind of money did I just make on this? And to her surprise, it was quite easy. And she said, maybe there's something to this and I should listen to my father. And to her credit, She really started off with two clients and built the business up through about 15 years.
Wow. So then at some point, your aunt came knocking at your door.
Correct.
And it was at a time when your children were quite young, I believe.
Correct.
And so talk about that moment and that just being asked to now be the third generation to take on the business. Talk about that for a moment, Marcy.
Sure. She called me up one day and she said, "You're the right person for the next generation. And I want to know if you want to come work for me and see if you like it." At the time, I had one child. And I said to her, it was June. And I said, "Maybe in September, it's the summer." And I was the only game in town for her. So she was patient with me. And in September, we got together and she started teaching me and said, "Go out and find some clients and I'll help you along." And I remember her saying, "Whatever it is, whatever they ask, can you get? You say yes. We can find anything." And I slowly started. What I did was, I went back to all my corporate clients. I had worked in the corporate world selling copiers and fax machines for 12 years through sales and sales management. So I went back to all my clients and started to build my book of business through that. And the plan was that she was going to stay for 5 years. And then if I liked it, I would buy the business from her. 3.5 years later, I had a 6-month-old. And she called me up and said, "I'm done." And that was a little shocking. I wasn't ready, but I called my father, her brother, and I said, "She wants to leave now. I have a 6-month-old." And he said, "Let her go. When you're done, you'll figure it out." And I'm proud to say it's 26 years later, so I figured it out.
And that's quite an intricate sales training process they have. Go out and find some clients and tell them yes, basically. Luck.
Experience, and she wanted me to bring in some new clients.
It okay if we share the arrangement you had with your aunt in terms of how you bought the business, or is that okay?
Sure, she was
Because.
really proud that she was honoring the legacy of my grandfather, her father, and she wanted we for legal purposes, we had to change the name over the state. And so she got a lawyer and created a very simple agreement. And basically, what we did, her offer to me was, I worked for her for 3 years. So for 3 years, on her accounts that I was inheriting, I would pay her back a commission on those, and that I bought the business for a dollar. But the stipulation for buying the business was, in the legal documents, is that I can never change the name of the business. The most important thing to her was that her father's name lived on.
And it was a great name. That was a, for me, that'd be an easy one. I love the name, Harry Hoffer. It's just such a phonetic, it's
It
got great
rings.
tone. It's
Yeah.
easy to say, easy to remember. Well,
I have one client that loves to say it all the time.
what does that mean for you personally today? Now that you look back, you say, hey, I'm running a business that still carries my grandfather's name. It's been like 80 years now. What does that mean for you personally right now, Marcy?
It means the world to me. I probably say his name 50 to 100 times a day, and I just feel like I honor him every day, and I try to do the best I can do. He was a very religious man. He was steeped in being a good person, a good ethical and moral person, and so I try to make him proud every day. We take an approach that our clients become our friends and family, and we try to treat them the way that we would want to be treated. And I'm really proud of the fact that usually when we start working with a client, it can be 10, 15, 20 years that
Nice.
we have clients.
So certainly the promotional products industry has changed dramatically since your grandfather started on it. But even across your tenure, there's been some pretty big changes. Talk about that for a moment. And where what are you seeing now in terms of the trends and where the industry is going? Like what are you seeing on the horizon?
So a lot of it is more on the technology side than anything else. My aunt and I used to laugh that my grandfather would have loved the fact that about a fax machine. Like he never knew a fax machine. And now that's obsolete. So life has really changed a lot. When I think back on it, I can't even imagine how he used to do business. But in terms of what the industry is doing now, digital printing is really coming to a forefront and changing a lot. And so that's probably the most exciting part that's happening now with products. From time to time, there's different things like 10 years ago, all the tech products, power banks, and all that kind of stuff came into focus, and people were all excited about a new product. But overall, year over year, the products don't change that much. It's the way we're decorating now that's getting really exciting.
Are you at a point where you can start to almost like spot pick, hey, this one's going to be, this product is going to be hot, this product's going to be a dud, this one's going to have a short lifespan? Is your kind of antenna for that gotten refined over the years, where you can look at something and say, oh, yeah, I could see that taking off, or you know what, that's hot today, but probably gone tomorrow? Do you have
Yeah,
that sensibility?
I like to think that. I go to a lot of trade shows during the year, industry trade shows, looking for new items. There's this one item that I found. It's literally 15 years ago. It sounds silly, but it's called the Stay Sharp pencil. And really, it's a mechanical pencil, but it looks like a number two pencil. And I have an accountant that gives the things away all the time. She picks five or six items. And the minute I saw that 15 years ago, oh, she's gonna like this. And literally every year for 15 years now, she's ordered thousands of them. So I like to think I see what's hot and what's not. But it's really more of just connecting with people and getting to know what their taste is. Certain clients are all about the retail name brands, and certain clients are all about saving money. And so, whatever that area is, I know where to go for those particular things. For instance, some people will only want to buy a Yeti water bottle or a tumbler. They need that Yeti name on it. Yet there is a very good supplier in the industry that pretty much has mimicked the Yetis, the Swells, the Stanleys. And it's really good quality, and they're less than 50% of the retail cost. So depending on what's important to the client, that's what I'm going to show them.
So in a sense then, really, it's more than just, not to use a bad word in the issue, but more than swag. It's really, it sounds like you're positioning Harry Hoffer as more of a strategic partner to help your clients achieve whatever they're looking to from a promotional or standout or gifting structure. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's some very big names out there that are website promotional products. Everybody knows who they are. Every product on those websites are products that I have access to. But what you don't get when you go on a website and just try to order something is you don't know if the product is in stock or not, which I have access to. You don't know if that product's coming from California or New Jersey. So right now, I'm working on a project for a conference for a client. They're a New York client, but the conference is in Arizona. So we suggested water bottles from a plastics company in California because time and money in terms of shipping will be better for them to ship it to the conference in Arizona. So it's things like that you get from me that you don't get on a website. And going back to my grandfather, we try to order from places that is the way that I'd want to do it. I wouldn't want to waste money on shipping when I can save money on that. So it's all those kind of things that I try to help out with.
Understood, understood. Taking a step back, family business, ownership and leadership, they can be rewarding, it can be challenging, right? As you're looking back, what have you found to be some of the most rewarding aspects? And also, what's been the most difficult? Start with rewarding. What's been the most rewarding aspect of carrying this business forward?
In terms of most rewarding, I'm very proud of my track record. We've never missed an event. I've actually gotten on the back of a FedEx truck searching for my mugs and pulled them off and showed up at a holiday party just in time to get, but I have never missed an event. So I'm very proud of that. It's very rewarding to help nonprofits. We do price things a little differently in a way to help nonprofits. One of my nonprofits that's near and dear, if I may give a shout out, is called Meters for Mike. It's three guys that had a good friend through a swim team. I think it was a college swim team who had a brain trauma and since passed. And 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago now, they started an event called Meters for Mike. And they do a 1 mile open water swim in Belmar each September. And I'm only a small part of helping them raise money. They raise money to help people with brain injury and for the memory of their friend Mike. But I've watched them grow from 300 participants to this September. They had over 700 participants. So things like that are really rewarding to me.
And that's interesting because I actually happened to be walking by. I was in the Belmar area on the day of that event and wondered what the heck was this, and that was what it was, is Meters for Mike. I was there. I didn't swim, but I was walking by.
Event, right?
Pretty amazing. That's awesome. Flip side of this question, what's been the most challenging for you in terms of taking this business Gen 3?
So I think probably for me the most challenging is that you can see that I love the sale end of it. I love the personal connection with clients. I don't love the accounting and the back end of it. And I've learned to find the right people to put into place to help me with that.
Okay.
Along the way, there was a time that I guess maybe paying attention to cash flow was an issue when we changed some things around and got that into place. But that's the challenging side for me. But we have people in place now, so it's been fine. And the only other thing I can think of that's really challenging is teaching our clients timing. Because everybody seems to always say, oh, I need stuff for the conference. And they ordered things 6 months earlier for the conference, but they think about what they want to hand out at the conference maybe 2 weeks before. And so we've tried very hard to train our clients to think a little more advanced than that.
Yeah, we had a
You're
client that
laughing
said
because you
that.
know.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We had a client. They said our, it was the start of the year. They said our, it was last year. And they said our 75th anniversary is coming up. I'm like, oh, okay. I figured next year or 2 years. When? Next week. I'm like, oh, so we're in your 75th year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have been good to know about 3 months ago or so.
Exactly.
Okay. No problem, though. Just like you. Yes, we'll take care of it. You've been at this now 26 years, is that right, Marcy?
It's been mine for 26 years. It's actually
Okay.
29 years
So
since.
29 years that you got involved.
Yeah,
Okay,
amazing
so
myself.
if you could go back in time and kind of talk to young Marcy, just starting out, just starting to ramp up with your aunt still at the helm, what would be a piece of advice you would give?
I think I'd probably just tell myself to be confident, a little more confident, and be sure of yourself. I never thought that I could grow the business the way I did grow the business. Year over year, from what my aunt was doing to what I'm doing, we've more than quadrupled the
Wow.
sales volume.
Wow.
And I didn't know I had that in me. And I think probably what I would have said is start networking earlier. The world of networking has changed in the last 30 years. And that really is a big part of how I grew my business. Yeah.
Cool. So now let's look the other way. We looked back. Let's look to the future. What's exciting you most right now about where Harry Hoffer is heading?
Well, we're taking our own advice, and next year will be our 80th anniversary. So we're just starting to figure out what
Wow.
our campaign is going to be, what we're going to do for our clients. So can't tell you anything about that just yet, but stay tuned.
Awesome. Awesome. So now, as part of the agreement with your aunt, the name is going to stay Harry Hoffer, and it's always going to stay that. But let's just say you could completely rebrand the business with a new name, a new identity, despite the agreement. If you had your way, what would you call it and why?
I can honestly say I have never thought about that because I would never change the name.
Awesome. Okay.
Years ago, I was at a networking event and there was a business coach and he was talking about what's your why? And my hand went right up. What's your why? Oh, I've got my why and my grandfather's my why. And he said, why, when do you tell clients that? And I say, probably about a year into my relationship with somebody, I start to explain what the name is and when, and he looked at me and goes, wrong. You need to do that on day one. And from the minute I started doing that on day one, and that year, it was about 10 years ago, I started these campaigns where I got this old sepia picture of my grandfather and I started putting that on things. My business skyrocketed because everybody loves their grandfather. You know, and it just talks about trust and comfort. Like literally, I've had more than one initial meeting where somebody goes, I love that story. I want to do business with you. So, no name change, never thought of it. Sticking with grandpa.
I like it. I like it. That's great. And it sounds he had quite a personal impression on you too. A
Yes,
really good
he would.
granddad. And something else, as you approach that 85th milestone, I'd have to think that certainly in the state, if not the region, and I don't know about the country, what some of the oldest standing promotional products companies are. But Harry Hofer's got to be up there. I don't know if it's number one, but it's got to be in the top 10, I would think.
That's interesting. I think I have to do a little research on that
Yeah,
now.
yeah. You know, what made me think of it was for a period of time, my brother-in-law worked in the business and he was cleaning out some old records. And he gave them to me. He said, "Hey, there's some cool historical stuff." And I was looking at it. And I found this list. And it was the top 25, I think it was the top 25 marketing firms in New Jersey by, it was like, I think it was the Business Journal of New Jersey that. And what was notable, not so much that D'Elia Associates in 1991 was number seven of the 25, is that as I looked at the list, we're the only one still around of the
Wow.
top 25 that's
Happy to
still
hear
around as a
about that.
standalone. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. I guess there's something to be said for tenacity.
Absolutely. That's great. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. But speaking of your industry, much like mine, lots of competition, right? Lots of players in the game. Marcy, what makes you lose sleep at night? What's some of the big challenges that you see ahead or the things that do keep you up at night?
Really, the only thing that ever keeps me up at night is deadlines because our businesses. Pretty much conference event driven. And so making sure that things are moving along in the process and going to be taken care of properly. There have been a few sleepless nights over. Did I do this? And oh my God, I didn't check that and stuff like that. And are they going to ship on time? But I'm very happy to say it's been very few and far between through the years. And that's really it.
Yeah. That's always, I think, always going to probably be a challenge. It was in the past, it is today. And I think just the expectation is that they get it tomorrow, order it today and get it tomorrow expectation, I think will only.
Exactly. It doesn't work when it's custom printed. It's not so easy, but there are a few vendors that still do 24-hour rush services, but lots can happen with 24-hour rush services.
So if just imagine if your grandfather kind of walked into the business today and saw where you're at, what do you think he might say about what you've done with his business? Now your business.
I sure hope he would be proud of me and excited, but I think that he would be amazed at what I get done in a day. Because in his generation, he would actually take actual artwork and FedEx it over to somebody and with a purchase order, and then they would have to FedEx back a proof, and then he'd have to send it to the client. And literally, what I can do in 5 minutes to get an order together would take him 2 to 3 weeks. And so I think he'd be amazed at the technology end of where the world has gone and what we're doing on a day-to-day basis.
And I could certainly echo a lot of that. Years ago, we were involved in the promotional products. We had a small side business. And I remember this was maybe the 80s, 90s. That first box of whatever comes in, and it's almost like you're bracing for impact because you don't really know what it's going to look like. So I think some of that's been mitigated in terms of what is what you get. But back in the
Absolutely.
day, it was really like, surprise.
We don't do anything without proofs. Let's just say that. No order gets printed without you seeing what it's going to look like.
So what are one or two of the hot items right now for our listeners? What are people like really hot on right now in your world?
Technology is always hot. Not power banks so much, but chargers, like wireless chargers on your desk, are still always hot. But it's more like digital printing. This is a digital print. And 5 years ago, you couldn't do all these colors on a hat like this. And the expense of doing this is about a third of what it would have been if you did spot colors, which, like you can see, there's a lot of detail in. You could never do that with a screen print. So it's stuff like that's exciting right now.
And for our listeners, what Marsh is sharing is a multicolor design on a hat that was screen printed, and when you see it, it's quite detailed. So the detail is carried through quite well. And yeah, that's impressive to see that on a hat facing.
The detail is almost as if, for the listeners, it's almost like it could be a photograph. We just did a hat. I wish I had a sample of it for someone's a client who was getting married, and apparently the father-in-law was a very respectable guy, and they did a hat with his picture on the face, and it says Mike Speaks, but it was a photo of him, and they did 90 for the rehearsal dinner, and then he called me back. He said it was such a hit. They ended up ordering another 75 for his father-in-law to just hand out to people.
That's cool. That's awesome. That's
So that
awesome.
was fun.
Neat. So for our listeners who want to learn more, who want to hear about some creative and effective promotional ideas and want to talk to you, what's the best way for them to connect with you, Marcy?
Well, I always love a phone call or an email to discuss things. You can find all that information on our website, which is harryhoffer.com. Very easy. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And so any of those ways are ways to get in touch with us.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So, Marcy, thanks so much for joining us on Growing Up B2B. Your story is a powerful example of carrying forward a family legacy, building something new for today's marketplace. So, we've been speaking with Marcy Hoffer of Harry Hoffer Advertising Specialties, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Marcy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ed. It was a pleasure.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.dalianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at dalianet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.